Live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe. It's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth. We're listening via live streaming at Iron Sharpens Iron. radio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Monday on this 26th day of August 2024. Before I introduce my guest and our topic, I want to remind you of a couple of important things. If you're a man in ministry leadership, you are invited to the next free biannual Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastor's Luncheon, which will be held Thursday, October 10th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, which is Perry County, Pennsylvania. And our featured keynote speaker for the very first time is Dr. Joseph Boot, who is a world-renowned author and highly sought-after conference speaker and founder and president of the Ezra Institute. Not only is admission free, and your time to hear what will no doubt be a powerful and edifying message from Dr. Boot free, and your time of rest, relaxation, refreshment, fun, fellowship, and feasting, all free. On top of all of that, everybody in attendance receives a heavy sack of free brand-new books, personally selected by me and donated by generous Christian publishers, all over the United States and United Kingdom. Everything is absolutely free of charge. If you're a man in ministry leadership and you'd like to register for this free event, just send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put a pastor's luncheon in the subject line. Please include not only your name, but the name and location of your church or parachurch ministry, and the number of men who will be joining you. That's Thursday, October 10th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, the free biannual Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastor's Luncheon featuring Dr. Joe Boot. I also have another reminder of a prayer request that I announced last week. Very urgent prayer request. A long-time cherished friend of mine, Gary Wolf, who was a member of the same church where I was saved and began my new Christian life in my mid-20s back in the 1980s. Gary Wolf, in fact, was a classmate of mine in the same high school where I attended. In the 70s, graduating in 1980, Amityville Memorial High School. My friend Gary Wolf was just recently diagnosed with stomach cancer, and he is having more tests being done tomorrow, Tuesday. I would really appreciate it if you would pray for Gary, not only for a physical healing, but for the Lord to give him a perfect peace, trusting in his will, whatever that may be, and that Gary may be able to even face this frightening, terrifying battle with confidence in Christ and joy, and that he would be a wonderful effective ambassador in the name of Jesus Christ to all with whom he comes in contact during this trial in his life. So please continue to pray for Gary Wolfe. And God willing, I will be giving you updates on the progress of his health and hopefully giving you praise reports with good news of healing or good news of diminished cancer and so on. But I am excited to have a returning guest today on the show. His name is Ed Romine, and he is an author and pastor of education and evangelism at First Baptist Church of Provo, Utah. Today we're going to be addressing his latest book, The Booming Baritone Bell of England, The Pedagogy and Practice of Charles Haddon Spurgeon Open Air Preaching. It's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Zion Radio, Pastor Ed Romine, and it just occurred to me that I probably mispronounced your last name, didn't I?
No, you did not. No, you did not.
Okay.
So, most people add an A in that last name, and they say Romaine, like the lettuce.
Right.
And nothing drives me nuts more than that. Well, there are things, but not much.
So. Well, why don't you...
It's good to be back, dear brother.
Yes, amen. Well, why don't you first and foremost let our listeners know about First Baptist Church of Provo, Utah. It might surprise people that there is a Baptist church in Provo, Utah. I understand that Provo has one of the most highly concentrated Mormon populations in the United States, even more than Salt Lake City. And
that's right.
So it's wonderful to know that there is a solid Christian church in the midst of that. So tell us more about First Baptist Church of Provo.
Yes, sir. Well, the First Baptist Church of Provo, as Brother Chris said, is in a mecca for what's officially known as the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, commonly known amongst Christians as Mormon. And the First Baptist Church of Provo is a Calvinistic Southern Baptist Church. We affirm the abstract, the principles, and we love and cherish and preach the biblical Jesus Christ from only the Holy Bible. We do expository preaching through books of the Bible, and I get the joy and privilege of being one of the members and pastors of the First Baptist Church of Provo. My official title, as I think was stated, is the Pastor of Education and Evangelism. And what that basically entails is I do whatever the church needs me to do. I preach, I teach, I organize our Thursday night Bible studies and whatever other curriculum we may have during the year. And then I also do a lot of evangelism, a lot of open-air preaching in downtown Provo and around the outskirts of Brigham Young University. And that's another thing that a lot of people don't realize, is that Brigham Young University is not in Salt Lake City. It's actually in Provo. That's why there's such a high concentration of members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. It's because Brigham Young University is right there. And so with that said, it's a wonderful place to do ministry for a lot of different reasons. And the good Lord has been so kind to us. We recently, within the past month, got to celebrate two baptisms. And if you're in the area, come join us. We love it when Christians from back east or around the USA come visit us. It always encourages our soul. We read the Word. We pray the Word. We read either the Apostles' Creed or Nicene Creed together each week, reminding ourselves that our faith goes back 2,000 years and God's always had his elect. And then we also have, as I said before, expositional preaching. Pastor Brendan, who is the main preacher is preaching through the book of Luke. And then when I preach, I'm going through the book of Psalms. So it's just a joy to be a part of First Baptist Provo. God has been so good to us. Our services are at 10 o'clock a.m. Mountain Time.
Amen. And if anybody wants to find out more about First Baptist Church of Provo, go to FBC for First Baptist Church, provo.org, FBC, provo.org. And God willing, we will remind you of that information later on in the program. Well, we are about to address, as I already mentioned, the latest book from the pen of Ed Romine, The Booming Baritone Bell of England, The Pedagogy and Practice of Charles Haddon Spurgeon's Open-Air Preaching. And this book has gained the accolades of people that I know, love, and admire, who I have actually had as guests on Iron Sherpin Zion Radio, some of them multiple times. Let me read a commendation by my dear friend Justin Peters, evangelist with Justin Peters Ministries. E.G. Romine provides us tremendous insight into the philosophy, hermeneutics, and evangelistic zeal that compelled Charles Spurgeon to herald the gospel not merely behind the pulpit, but also, and especially so, out in the open air to be heard by multiplied thousands at a time. The booming baritone bell of England ably fills what has been lacking in Spurgeonic scholarship. I enthusiastically commend this work to the pastor, scholar, and layman alike, and also my dear friend Andrew Rappaport, executive director at Striving for Eternity Ministries. Many books have been written on the life and preaching of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. When most people write on the preaching of Spurgeon, they focus on his pulpit preaching. What E.G. Romine has done in this book is focus on the preaching that was so dear to Spurgeon's heart, preaching in the open square. If you would like to understand Spurgeon better, and even more, to preach like Spurgeon, this book is for you. And there are quite a number of other accolades for this book. Let me just quickly read a couple more. Ray Rhodes, who is the pastor of Grace Community Church, I believe in that, that's in Douglasville, Georgia, if I'm not mistaken. I'll correct that if I'm wrong, but he's been a friend of mine for a long time. And I've interviewed Ray on his book about the wife of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, Susie. Ray writes, Spurgeon preached everywhere from village cottages to London's vast halls. Buildings couldn't contain the crowds. Therefore, he also preached outside to the masses. Scholar and open-air preacher E.G. Romine is the most qualified person that I know to write a book on Spurgeon's open-air preaching. Read this joyful and well-informed book. And I'll just include one more out of the many accolades for this book. My dear friend, Dr. Tom Nettles, senior professor of historical theology at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, in addition to being the current executive director of Founders Ministries and pastor of Grace Baptist Church of Cape Coral, Florida. Dr. Nettles writes, E.G. Romine has captured the spirit, zeal, theology, and love of Charles Spurgeon in this volume. If anything showed the true passion of Spurgeon for truth and for people, it was his open-air preaching. His polemics throughout his ministry manifested his love for orthodox, evangelical, and yes, Calvinistic truth. All of that, however, was in service of the purity of the gospel preached to the lost. This excellent work explores the theology, practice, and pedagogy of preaching in the open air. Romine has given it a charming presentation. Well, those, I should say, are some powerful commendations. And I know that one of the reasons that you wrote this book is because you yourself, in addition to being a pastor like Charles Haddon Spurgeon, are an open-air evangelist like Charles Haddon Spurgeon. What did you do to discover more information about this aspect of Spurgeon's life? Because as one of the commendations accurately said, and I believe it was Andrew Rappaport's commendation, that most of the time when you pick up a book by Spurgeon, it is either something directly from his pulpit ministry or something that doesn't necessarily focus on his open-air evangelism. So how did you go about discovering these truths that are largely unknown to your average reader?
Yes, sir. So to back up just a little bit to answer your question, I first heard about Charles Spurgeon through a gift of a book called The Gospel-Centered Focus of Charles Spurgeon, written by Stephen Lawson.
Yeah.
And it was through that book that I fell in love with Charles Spurgeon. And I started reading what I could get my hands on, like Spurgeon on the Holy Spirit, published by Whitaker House. And I soon realized through some research that that was abridged. And we're talking about 2012 when I started figuring out Spurgeon was a big deal to a lot of people, even beyond Reformed and Calvinistic camps. And it was through Lawson's book that I got introduced to Spurgeon. And in being introduced to Spurgeon, I eventually ran across his lectures to my students. And it was about this time that I ran across his lectures to my students that a dear friend of mine, who actually wrote one of the endorsements, was named Taylor Christian Callan. You'll see his name on there. He's currently the pastor of Horican Baptist Church in Brant Lake, New York. And one of the things I tried to do was to get well-known people and personal ministry friends of mine, and a lot of them are both, like Justin Peters and Andrew Rappaport, to recommend the book. Nobody knows the name Taylor Christian Callan, unless you went to school with him, but he's a faithful pastor up in upstate New York. And when he was in Bible college himself, while I was in seminary, we went to the same school, the Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. He got me involved in street evangelism, tracting, open-air preaching, and all that stuff. And I fell in love with that form of evangelism, and Taylor was willing to take me out in my wheelchair and push me around everywhere, and we would go out and evangelize. When he first started getting me into this, I told him, I can't do that. I'm disabled. I have cerebral palsy. And said, if you want to come do it, I'll help you get to where you need to go. And I fell in love with the act of open-air preaching as a method for getting the gospel to people. And then as I was reading lectures to my students, I came across the two lectures that are on open-air preaching that Spurgeon taught to his students. And those two lectures are A Sketch of Its History, Open-Air Preaching, A Sketch of Its History, and then Open-Air Preaching Remarks Thereon. And I started looking around, and I was doing my Master of Divinity at the time, and I started realizing, hold on, nobody's actually written on this. And I asked my professors, and nobody knew. And I thought to myself, this could be an actual contribution if I wanted to run with it. So I ended up finishing my MDiv, finishing THM. Then I went to Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, where the Spurgeon Library is held in Kansas City, Missouri. And I went through my coursework there, did a bunch of research. And when I was living out in Utah back in 2020, I ended up writing the dissertation, and people, if by God's grace, ended up really appreciating it for those who love Spurgeon. So I just couldn't believe, for something that Spurgeon found so important, nobody had written on it yet. And so many guys, especially when the quote-unquote young restless reform movement was really in full swing, everybody wanted the Spurgeonic ministry, but nobody was talking about it, about his open-air preaching. So I'm just really grateful to the Lord that he gave me the endurance to write the book, and to God be the glory.
Hallelujah.
So that answers your question.
Yes, it does. And we are going to our first commercial break. If you have a question for Ed Romine about his book, and perhaps even more broadly about Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the 19th century prince of preachers, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, you give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, in your country of residence, if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. You are having some kind of theological disagreement with your own pastors, for an example. Perhaps you have fallen in love with the teaching of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, and the church where you are a member despises that theology, even if they are unaware that Charles Haddon Spurgeon loved and taught it very dynamically and boldly. You have a lot of that, the anti-Calvinists who love Spurgeon, allegedly. But whatever the case may be, we will honor your request to remain anonymous. But please, if it's a general question, give us your first name, at least city and state, and country of residence. We'll be right back with Ed Romine, and we'll be looking forward to hearing from you and your questions to chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Phil Johnson, Executive Director of Grace to You with John MacArthur. I've been a frequent guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I highly recommend this show. But today I want to tell you about one of its advertisers, Rare Document Traders. Far and away, my favorite source for quality Charles Spurgeon memorabilia. Are you looking for that special, unique gift for your pastor or missionary friend or a loved one? Why not purchase a piece of church history that any believer would cherish? Rare Document Traders is your one-step source for Spurgeon's handwritten manuscripts and letters, as well as other rare books and collectible items from church history. In 15 years that they've been in business, they've earned a stellar reputation in the Reformed community with thousands of satisfied customers all around the world, including me. Visit RareDocTraders.com today. That's RareDocTraders.com. Don't forget to mention you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. That's RareDocTraders.com.
Greetings, this is Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. SecureCom provides the highest level of security systems for residential buildings, municipalities, churches, commercial properties, and much more. We can be reached at SecureComGroup.com. That's SecureComGroup.com. But today, I want to introduce you to my senior pastor, Doug McMasters, of New Hyde Park Baptist Church on Long Island.
Doug McMasters here, former director of pastoral correspondence at Grace to You, the radio ministry of John MacArthur. In the film Chariots of Fire, the Olympic gold medalist runner Eric Liddell remarked that he felt God's pleasure when he ran. He knew his efforts sprang from the gifts and calling of God. Who sensed that same God-given pleasure when ministering the Word and helping others gain a deeper knowledge and love for God? That love starts with the wonderful news that the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior who died for sinners, and that God forgives all who come to Him in repentance, trusting solely in Christ to deliver them. I would be delighted to have the honor and privilege of ministering to you if you live in the Long Island area or Queens or Brooklyn or the Bronx in New York City. For details on New Hyde Park Baptist Church, visit nhpbc.com. That's nhpbc.com. You can also call us at 516-352-9672. That's 516-352-9672. That's New Hyde Park Baptist Church, a congregation in love with each other, passionate for Christ, committed to learning and being shaped by God's Word, and delighting in the gospel of God's sovereign grace.
I'm Pastor Bill Shishko of The Haven, an Orthodox Presbyterian church in Commack, Long Island. I hold the Iron Sharpens Iron radio program hosted by my longtime friend and brother Chris Arnzen in the highest esteem, and I'm thrilled that you're listening today. I'm also delighted that Iron Sharpens Iron is partnering with one of my favorite resources for Reformed Christian literature for decades now, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Well, with the economic nightmare that we're all currently enduring, CVBBS.com, I'm going to enable you to build a wonderful personal library of the best in literature that the Reformers, the Puritans, and the great Christian minds of today have to offer, and at affordable prices. Not only does CVBBS.com offer up to 50% off retail prices, but you'll get an added 5% off orders of $50 or more by using promo code IRON, I-R-O-N. An added 5% off all of your orders of $50 or more from Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. That's CVBBS.com, making the joy of reading the finest in Christian literature more affordable. Oh, and make sure that you tell them you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step by step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they're continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, on top of the financial support that RoyalDiadem.com already automatically provides for Iron Sharp and Zion Radio every month. On top of that, they are giving us this enormous, mind-blowing bonus. RoyalDiadem.com is giving Iron Sharp and Zion Radio 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry to an Iron Sharp and Zion Radio listener, as long as that listener mentions Iron Sharp and Zion Radio when purchasing their jewelry from RoyalDiadem.com. Whether it's jewelry for yourself or someone you love, whether it's jewelry that they already have in stock at RoyalDiadem.com, or whether it's a one-of-a-kind, customized piece of jewelry that you're having created. Let's say it's an engagement ring. Let's say it's taking your church logo, your parachurch ministry logo, your denomination logo, your seminary logo, your business logo, turning it into a pendant for a necklace or a ring, or anything else your creativity and imagination can conjure up in your brain. RoyalDiadem.com will take what's in your brain and turn it into a physical, mind-blowing, breathtaking, stunning piece of jewelry. And I have seen firsthand the absolute mastery that they have over customizing one-of-a-kind pieces of jewelry. So, as I was saying, whether it's something that they already have in stock in the realm of jewelry at RoyalDiadem.com or a one-of-a-kind customized piece of jewelry, if you mention Iron Sharp and Zion Radio, we get 100% of the profits from that sale of jewelry. So, if you have any interest in buying yourself or someone you love jewelry, please go to RoyalDiadem.com soon, but please even go to RoyalDiadem.com today. Even if you're not making your final purchase today, please go to RoyalDiadem.com today, because we have no idea when they're going to pull the plug on this offer to us, where we get 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry to an Iron Sharp and Zion Radio listener. And therefore, to get the ball rolling on your purchase and to further ensure that we will get 100% of the profits from the sale, please at least start the ball rolling today by going to RoyalDiadem.com. Don't forget to mention Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharp and Zion Radio. And I am now back with our guest today, Ed Romine, a pastor of First Baptist Church, or one of the pastors, I should say, at First Baptist Church of Provo, Utah. And we're discussing his new book on the open-air preaching of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. And we have a listener who is asking something that is somewhat off-topic, but it's about Spurgeon. And since he is, according to his own words, a good friend of yours, Ed, and he's also a very close friend of mine, longtime friend, that's Pastor Jason Wallace of Christ Presbyterian Church of Magna, Utah.
I love Jason Wallace.
Yes, so do I. He is also a very gifted documentarian. I have volunteered my services as a voiceover artist for a number of his documentaries. And Jason asks, what did Spurgeon see as the roots of the downgrade in the Baptist Association? And I think it would also obviously be wise for you to define what the downgrade controversy actually was.
So the downgrade controversy is thought by many Spurgeonic historians to be the heartbreak of Spurgeon's life. And essentially what it was is he decided to withdraw from the Baptist Union at the time because the Baptist Union was sliding closer and closer into liberalism, denying such things as biblical inerrancy, biblical infallibility, denying the need for justification by faith alone in Christ alone. And Spurgeon fought hard during the end portion of his life not to leave and to reconcile with people. And even Phil Johnson has said, who is a Spurgeon expert in his own right, that even Spurgeon's brother, I believe it was Thomas, don't quote me on that, Thomas Spurgeon, turned against Spurgeon during this time and sided with the Baptist Union. And like I said, many people believe that controversy alone contributed to the early, humanly speaking, early death of Charles Haddon Spurgeon at the tender age of 57.
Well, as Jason asked, what do you think the roots of the downgrade controversy was? Obviously, there was something occurring in the churches at large in England in the 19th century that began to increase and multiply to the point where it even reached the downgrade controversy.
Right. Yeah, the answer, the main part of this question, I would say it was a lack of accountability in the union for gospel preaching and gospel shepherding. So if you do not have accountability, if you do not have mechanisms in place to say, hey, brother, that was doctrinally wrong. Why are you preaching that? Then what you end up having is a slow sliding away from orthodoxy. And it happens so subtly, but before long, you start denying things that you never thought you'd deny. We see this in Utah especially. Somebody gets quote-unquote saved out of the LDS church, and they have systems in place where there's no accountability. There's nobody watching their doctrine. And before long, man's sinful heart's going to be slipping into things that are gospel denying. So I think that's one of the main impetuses that allowed the downgrade controversy to happen. There was no true system of accountability to make sure that there was true gospel preaching going on and true biblical fidelity. Does that make sense?
Yes, and it's just a reminder to church leaders today that they can never view it to be a loving act to let error go uncorrected. And
correct.
The tolerance of error is seen by many as an act of love and Christian humility. Now, obviously, we're not talking about being legalistic, Pharisaic, nitpicking and micromanaging the beliefs of others. But at the same time, we cannot have unity that is truly faithful to the scriptures if it's not based on truth.
That's right. That's right. And that's not to say that there's not theological triage, but what you've got to understand is that in the downgrade controversy, people were denying things that you cannot deny and hold on to biblical evangelical Christianity that we would say goes back all 2,000 years.
Well, Pastor Jason, got good news. You have just won a free copy of The Booming Baritone Bell of England, The Pedagogy and Practice of Charles Haddon Spurgeon's Open-Air Preaching. And by the way, I am pronouncing pedagogy the way Spurgeon would, since he was British, and that is the British pronunciation. If he were an American, we would call it pedagogy. But how do you prefer pronouncing that word?
Oh, I'm a Texas hick. I say pedagogy.
Okay. And why don't you define that for our listeners?
Yeah, so pedagogy is the art and study of how to teach.
Okay.
So, and I get that from Spurgeon's second lecture on open air preaching, which is Remarks Thereon. Open air preaching, Remarks Thereon. And it's exactly what it sounds like. If we were to go through that lecture, we'd see such practical things, if I may jump into this, dear brother, as stand with your back against the wall so that nobody comes up behind you and does something mean or nasty to you. Don't preach. This one's super helpful for today's bad open-air preachers. Don't scream your lungs out the whole entire time, because he says people will think that you're angry and you'll lose your voice. And do such things as preach with a good, full voice, but preach with the wind. If it's windy, don't try to fight the wind. Just such simple things as that, which I find very, very interesting, that in today's open-air preaching climate, you have those who would call themselves open-air preachers, but they're really, as one person dubbed it, open-air screechers that come to the LDS general conferences that happen twice a year, and they say such things as, "You're not Mormons, you're morons." That's how one guy opened his quote-unquote open-air sermon up. And I told my dear friend I was with at the time, we need to leave this man. I don't want to be associated with him. Just really hateful stuff.
Yeah, and that's exactly what ruined the open-air evangelism that Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries was involved in to the Mormons, because at one time he didn't have hardly any competition out there, but then the area became flooded with these hateful mavericks who were just there to mock Mormons, had no real interest in seeing them come to Christ.
Right.
And
go
ahead.
I was going to say, and true open-air preachers want to follow Peter's admonition and proclaim the excellencies of Jesus Christ. We're out there to make Jesus look good. If I could use a human word to make him almost look attractive, as it were. Spurgeon actually talks about just the beauties of our Savior in the last sermon he ever preached. And during a break, I'll get to it. I would love to read that quote, but it's so warm, it's so inviting. And that's how he ended his life, is making Jesus look good without making him attractional, but also not downplaying the truth of you must come to him, you must believe in him. That's very different than sitting out there yelling and screaming at people, telling them how bad they are all in all and no Jesus at all.
By the way,
does that make sense?
Yes, and you have 10 minutes to quote that source. If you'd like to do that. Let me repeat our email address, chrisarnson@gmail.com, if anybody has questions. Go ahead.
Yes, absolutely. I got to get to you first.
chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least your city and state of residence and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Oh, by the way, Pastor Jason, make sure we have your full mailing address in the Magna, Utah area, where Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com, can ship out Ed Romine's book to you. Have you located that
book? Yes, sir. Yes, I have. Yes, I have. So this is the last sermon that Charles Spurgeon ever preached, called The Statute of David for the Sharing of the Spoil. And the sermon text that he preached on was from 1 Samuel 30, verses 21 through 26. And he preached this sermon on June 7th, 1891. Listen to Spurgeon here. This is so beautiful. What I have to say lastly is this. how greatly I desire that you who are not yet enlisted in my Lord's band would come to him, because you see what a kind and gracious Lord he is. Young men, if you could see our captain, you would down on your knees and beg him to let you enter the ranks of those who follow him. It is heaven to serve Jesus. I'm a recruiting sergeant, and I would fain find a few recruits at this moment. Every man must serve somebody. We have no choice as to that fact. Those who have no master are slaves to themselves. Depend upon it, you will either serve Satan or Christ, either self or the Savior. You will find sin, self, Satan, and the world to be hard masters. But if you wear the livery of Christ, you will find him so meek and lowly of heart that you will find rest unto your souls. He is the most magnanimous of captains. There never was his like among the choicest of princes. He is always to be found in the thickest part of the battle. When the wind blows cold, he always takes the bleak side of the hill. The heaviest end of the cross lies ever on his shoulders. If he bids us carry a burden, he carries it also. If there is anything that is gracious, generous, kind, and tender, yea, lavish, and superabundant in love, you always find it in him. These 40 years and more have I served him. Blessed be his name. And I have had nothing but love from him. I would be glad to continue yet another 40 years in the same dear service here below, if it so pleased him. His service is life, peace, joy. Oh, that you would enter on it at once. God help you to enlist under the banner of Jesus even this day. Amen.
Hallelujah. I wonder if that quote was any source of inspiration to Bob Dylan when he wrote the song, "You've Got to Serve Somebody." It may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you've got to serve somebody. Back in the days when...
Maybe so.
Back in the days when Bob Dylan was actually outwardly appearing to be a faithful servant of Christ. I don't know where he is in regard to his standing before God today. I forgot to mention to our listeners that the foreword to this book has been written by Phil Johnson, Executive Director of Grace to You, the media ministry of John MacArthur. And Phil Johnson has been on this program as a guest numerous times. And you heard his voice earlier on in the commercial for Rare Document Traders, which happens to be a phenomenal source for original, authentic Charles Spurgeon memorabilia. But as far as open-air preaching goes, how did it get to the point when the great open-air preachers that immediately come to people's minds, if they know anything about history, like George Whitefield, for instance, these men were Calvinists. So how did we reach the point where Calvinists make up a minority today of open-air evangelists?
That is a fine question. I'll give you my opinion. So there was also, if you look at Spurgeon's sketch of open-air preaching, Spurgeon doesn't leave out the good gospel-fearing Arminians, the Methodist circuit riders. And you can go back and read that on your own time. You could read my analysis of it in the book. There have always been, dare I say, on this radio show, good open-air, more Arminian-persuaded preachers back in the day. I think, to be more pointed with your question, how did open-air preaching get involved in the hands of outright Pelagian heretics, people that are sinless perfectionists, people who deny original sin altogether. And I think it came about because the Reformed and Calvinistic stopped doing it. And where that history comes into play, I'm not exactly sure right now, but maybe you can have me on for another program once I study it. But that's a fine question. I don't know the details of the answers.
Yeah, because it's a tragedy, because it just it feeds into the slanderous stereotype of Calvinists as not having a passion for the lost and being unwilling to go where the lost gather, which very often is in the open air at parks and all kinds of areas where there are numerous people who are anywhere on the spectrum from being indifferent to the gospel to being openly and passionately hateful of it. And so I always grieve when people get the idea that even historically faithful and biblically faithful Calvinists, when they get the idea that they're hyper-Calvinists because of things like this, the uninvolvement of men of sovereign grace in the open air preaching.
Right.
And go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was going to add on to that. You know, a lot of modern-day Calvinistic and Reformed, in a well-meaning way, have this attitude of, well, open-air preaching turns people off and turns them away. And I just lovingly say to them, you're thinking like an Arminian.
The gospel turns people off.
Right, exactly.
No matter where it's proclaimed.
That's right. God can take an absolute jerk of a human being, and I'm not endorsing doing this, but if that jerk of a human being is preaching a faithful gospel, God can still use that gospel preaching if he so pleases. That being said, I think our lives ought to match our testimonies. I'm not advocating going out doing that, but that's an extreme example of it's showing that I believe so much in the sovereignty of God that God can use the most crooked stick to save his people.
Amen. And we have to go to our midway break right now. If you have a question for Ed Romine on Charles Haddon Spurgeon, or specifically on his book, The Booming Baritone Bell of England, The Pedagogy and Practice of Charles Haddon Spurgeon's Open Air Preaching, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state and country of residence. Please be patient with us as the midway break is longer than the other breaks. Please use this time wisely. Respond to as many of our advertisers as you can, knowing that our advertisers and the finances that come through them are what keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. And also send in your questions to Pastor Ed Romine to chrisarnson@gmail.com. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
It's such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley. a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favourite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards. And Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers: Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a long-time partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. And now, they're also shipping worldwide. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online worldwide at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 717-249-0231. That's 717-249-0231. For orders of $50 or more, use promo code IRON for an extra 5% off their already discounted prices. And please, let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so, and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We're devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
Armored Republic exists to equip free men with tools of liberty to defend God-given rights against the twin threats of tyranny and chaos. If you own a rifle to resist tyrants and criminals, then you should own body armor and a med kit for the same reasons. A rifle stops evil, body armor and a med kit keep you in the fight and preserve your life. Armored Republic is a body of free craftsmen united to create tools of liberty. We are honored to be your armorsmith of choice. Civilian ownership of body armor is about increasing decentralized power and, by comparison, reducing the advantages of centralized power. The danger of centralized power is often represented by the word king. As Americans, we hate the word king applied to any mere man. We are Armored Republic, and in a republic, there is no king but Christ. Arm yourself with tools of liberty at armoredrepublic.com.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnzen has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Potofuco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Butterfuco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And I want to highlight a book available from solid-ground-books.com. In fact, Mike Gadosh of solid-ground-books.com was informed about the book I'm about to mention by his friend and mine, Dr. Tom Nettles, who is probably most well known as being one of the greatest living Baptist historians. And Dr. Nettles, upon visiting the Metropolitan Tabernacle, where Charles Haddon Spurgeon was the pastor in the 19th century, Dr. Nettles found a book in their library by a largely unknown elder who served alongside Charles Spurgeon at the Metropolitan Tabernacle. He's largely unknown today, nearly completely unknown today. His name is Thomas Moore, M-O-O-R, and this elder wrote a book called Counsels and Thoughts for the Spiritual Life of Believers, a must-have for every pastor, every Christian counselor, and every Christian who is serious about studying the Word of God and applying it to their own lives and the lives of others when they seek to give godly counsel to others. You've got to get this book. It's a beautiful hardback book endorsed by quite a number of well-known folks, not only Dr. Tom Nettles, who helped solid-ground-books.com rediscover this work and bring it back into print, probably for the first time since the 19th century, but others like Dr. Joel Beakey highly recommend this book. So go to solid-ground-books.com, solid-ground-books.com, and order Counsels and Thoughts for the Spiritual Life of Believers by Thomas Moore, M-O-O-R, an elder alongside Charles Haddon Spurgeon at the Park Street Chapel and also the Metropolitan Tabernacle. Also, folks, before I return to my discussion with Ed Romine and our conversation on Charles Haddon Spurgeon's open-air preaching and theology, we have some important reminders for you. Folks, if you really love this show and you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, I'm urging you, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. And if you prefer snail mail, mailing a physical check to a physical address from your post office the old-fashioned way, there will also be a physical address that appears on your screen when you click support at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, where you can mail your checks, made payable, to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And if you would like to advertise with us, whether it is your church, parachurch ministry, your business, your private practice like a law firm or a medical firm, or maybe it's just a special event you want to promote, whatever it is, we would love to help you launch an ad campaign as quickly as possible, as long as your beliefs are compatible with mine, because we're just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as your donations. So send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. Also, folks, I never want anybody in my audience to give your own church where you are a member less money than you normally give to your own church on the Lord's Day because you want to give Iron Sharpens Iron Radio a financial gift. Please never do that. In other words, never cut into the money that you have set aside specifically for your Lord's Day giving to your own church. Never cut into those funds to bless Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Also, if you are really suffering financially, I would ask that you wait until you are financially stable and back on your feet before you give Iron Sharpens Iron Radio a financial gift. As urgently and as desperately as we need your help financially, I don't want to take food off of your family's dinner table either. So, please remember that those are two commands of God, providing for church and family. And providing for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is obviously not a command of God. But if you are blessed financially above and beyond your ability to provide for church and family, and you have extra money for benevolent, recreational, and even trivial purposes, well, if you love the show and don't want it to go off the air, please share some of that money with us so that we can continue to exist. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Last but not least, if you are not a member of a Christ-honoring, biblically faithful, theologically sound, doctrinally solid church like First Baptist Church of Provo, Utah, I have extensive lists spanning the entire globe of biblically faithful churches, and I've helped many people in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience all over the planet Earth find churches that are near to them that are biblically faithful, sometimes even just a couple of minutes from where they live. So no matter where you live on the planet Earth, if you are not a member of a Christ-honoring, biblically faithful church, please send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question to Ed Romine, and we are discussing his book, The Booming Baritone Bell of England, The Pedagogy, or as some pronounce it, Pedagogy, and Practice of Charles Haddon Spurgeon's Open Air Preaching. And that email address again is chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, city and state, and country of residence. We have Drew in Hewlett, Long Island, New York. And Drew says, I misunderstood something you were saying about Spurgeon earlier, who was rebuking people who raise their voice constantly. Isn't that sometimes a necessity when you're open-air preaching? And also, aren't there often many things to be angry about when you are preaching, especially when you're condemning rampant sin in the community.
Yes, to both of those questions, and I'll elaborate on them. If you go and look at Spurgeon's lectures, he will tell you, you want to speak loudly and boldly from your diaphragm. So breathe well, and then project your voice. What he is against is literal screaming, where you're talking from the throat up here. And that's how, you know, Tony Evans does it. And he gets this kind of same way here. That's really bad on your voice. Don't preach that way. I've heard preachers both in the pulpit and on the streets do that. And using that, that makes me want to cough, just demonstrating it. And a lot of people, they'll preach from a tightness right here. And that's really not good for the vocal cords God gave you. So that's what I meant by that. I don't scream because he says it makes you sound like a lunatic. To the second question, absolutely. We should be angry when we think about the murder of the preborn that's still happening around this country. We should be angry about the way our country is going politically, where it seems like every year that passes by, our country is not caring more and more about the biblical principles upon which our country is based. We should be angry about those things. But anger should not characterize our preaching. I've read a lot of Spurgeon. He was not an angry preacher, but he was a firm preacher. There was a solemn seriousness, both when he was talking about the sweetness of Jesus and the harshness of where those who go into eternity without the blessing of Jesus end up. Could I read two very contrasting quotes from the open air? Is that okay, dear brother?
Oh, of course.
Okay, so that first quote that I read in the first half, that was from his last pulpit sermon. And one of my goals, my main thesis, actually, is to show that Spurgeon's open-air preaching made him the preacher he was in the pulpit. So I'm going to give you two contrasting quotes here. Here is the first one. And he's pleading for sinners to repent. I'll give you a little bit of my commentary in my book, and then I'll tell you when the quote starts. Spurgeon, this is me, Spurgeon, a strict five-point Calvinist, was not afraid to say in the open air, "You do feel your need of a Savior. Remember, Christ died for you. Believe that, will you?" Spurgeon continues, "There he hangs upon his cross, dying, looking into his face. It is full of love. It is melting with forgiveness. His lips are moving, and he says, 'Father, forgive them.' Will you look to him? Can you hear him say it and yet turn away? All he asks you is simply to look, and that look will save you. You do feel your need of a Savior. You know you're a sinner. Why tarry? Do not say you are unworthy. Remember, he died for the unworthy. Do not say he will not save you. Remember, he died for the devil's castaways, the very dram and scum of the world. Christ has redeemed. Look at him. Can you look at him and not believe him? Can you see the blood streaming from his shoulders and trickling from his hands and side and not believe him? Oh, by him that liveth and was dead and is alive forevermore, I entreat you to believe on the Lord Jesus, for thus it is written, he that believeth on the Lord Jesus and is baptized. So you can see he almost sounds Arminian if you don't know him. I think that's why so many people mock him, because they read stuff like that. They think, oh, I can agree with that. And then there's other places where he says such things as, go and try my Savior. Go and try my Savior. And a lot of us are so strict five-point Calvinists, we wouldn't dare speak of talking that way. But Spurgeon, in his zeal in the open air, would actually plead with people in that way. I'm not even sure I agree with it necessarily, but the fact is Spurgeon did it. Now, let me show you a quote from the open air that is extremely different. This is from his sermon entitled Heaven and Hell, and it's numbers 39 and 40. This is my favorite open air sermon that we know that he did and have recorded. He's pleading with young men not to go to hell. Here's the context. That was a dreadful dream which a pious mother once had and told to her children. She thought the judgment day was come. The great books were opened. They all stood before God. And Jesus Christ said, separate the chaff from the wheat. Put the goats on the left hand and the sheep on the right. The mother dreamed that she and her children were standing just in the middle of the great assembly. And the angel came and said, I must take the mother. She is a sheep. She must go to the right hand. The children are goats. They must go on the left. She thought as she went, her children clutched her and said, Mother, can we part? Must we be separated? She then put her arms around them and seemed to say, My children, I would, if possible, take you with me. But in a moment, the angel touched her. Her cheeks were dried, and now, overcoming natural affection, being rendered supernatural and sublime, resigned to do God's will, she said, My children, I taught you well, I trained you up, and you forsook the ways of God, and now all I have to say is, Amen to your condemnation. Thereupon they were snatched away, and she saw them in perpetual torment while she was in heaven. Young man, what will you think when the last day comes? To hear Christ say, Depart, ye cursed. And there will be a voice just behind him saying, Amen. And as you inquire whence came the voice, you will find it was your mother. Or young woman, when thou art cast away into outer darkness, what will you think to hear a voice saying, Amen? And as you look, there sits your father, his lips moving with a solemn curse. It's weighty stuff, isn't it, brother?
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. You have very few people writing with the power that Spurgeon, with which Spurgeon wrote, many gifted and brilliant men throughout history, but not necessarily with the power and passion with which he wrote that oozes through the page, even though you can't audibly hear him. And by the way, Drew in Hewlett, Long Island, New York, you have won a free copy of The Booming Baritone Bell of England by my guest, Pastor Ed Romine. So make sure that we have your full mailing address in Hewlett, Long Island, so that Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com, can ship that book out to you. Let's see. We have Stuart, who is located in Cincinnati, Ohio. And Stuart says, can you list a handful of your favorite open-air preachers that you know today?
Absolutely. And I hope they don't get a big head.
Huh.
So, one of them is Andrew Rappaport. One of them is a member of my own church. His name is Joe Henson. And Joe works with Sports Fan Outreach International. He's on staff with them. And Sports Fan International is run by Bill Adams, who is my favorite Anglican, on top of being an open-air preacher. And then another brother that I really, truly appreciate that's alive today and doing wonderful work is a brother by the name of Jimmy Hamilton. He's a Scottish open-air preacher, and he wrote a book called So You Want to Be a Street Preacher? And I really book to anybody who is even thinking about going out into the open air and preaching the gospel. So that's just a few. So,
yeah, I've got my own recommendation. A friend of mine who just moved to Tennessee recently, who I've had the privilege of hearing open air preaching, Ryan Hartzell, H-A-R-T-Z-E-L. I'm not sure exactly, I can't remember where in Tennessee he is ministering today, but you can find out more about Ryan's ministry by emailing him. I'm sure he's not going to mind me giving his email address, especially since he could use your support. I know that. Ryan Hartzell Fitness at yahoo.com. He's also a fitness instructor. Ryan Hartzell, H-A-R-T-Z-E-L, fitness at yahoo.com. And Ryan Denton. Do you know Ryan Denton, brother?
No, of him. We've talked on the phone. He wrote a wonderful book called A Certain Sound, I think.
Yes, it is.
The co-author with him, oh my goodness, his name is escaping me, and he'll make fun of me for not remembering his name. I believe it's Scott, co-author.
It is Scott.
Okay, yeah. Sorry, Scott, for even doubting your name, dear brother. He'd be another one that I really, really like. Scott's just one of the happiest open-air preachers there is, so. So hopefully I made up for forgetting your name, Jim, brother. So.
Amen. And, I've had Ryan. And if you want to hear more about Ryan's ministry, either one, actually, because I've interviewed both of them on Iron Sharp and Zion Radio, type in the name Ryan, and you'll have both of those interviews come up. Or interviews with both of those brothers, and probably more. Ryan's a fairly common name, but you could look for Ryan Hartzell and Ryan Denton. What advice do you have as an open-air preacher yourself, especially for those who are up-and-coming brethren in Christ who have a passion in their heart to become open-air preachers? What can you tell them, especially mistakes to avoid that perhaps you've even made through your own learning process, becoming an open-air evangelist?
Mm-hmm. The first thing, and I think most important thing, is to be an active, joyful member of your local church. Don't be a rogue street preacher. Remember, we started this out answering Brother Jason's question about accountability. That's why, in my mind, that's one of the main reasons why the downgrade happened. There was no accountability in doctrine. There was no accountability in personal holiness. You've got to be an active, joyful covenant member of the local church. That's number one. As far as a mistake I made as a younger open air preacher would be that I preach thematic gospel presentations rather than expositional preaching in the open air. And I've become convinced that the same sort of preaching that we get for Christian people is the same word of God that God uses, obviously, to open up hearts when you're presenting the gospel. So don't be afraid to preach what are essentially evangelistic pulpit sermons in the open air. So one of my favorites to go to in my context is Psalm 50, because in Psalm 50, he rebukes the wicked in Psalm 50, God does, and he says in verse 20, either 20 or 21, Psalm 50, verse 20 or 21, you thought I was altogether one like yourself. The wicked get rebuked for making God human-like, and he's not. He is transcendent. He is holy. Just a wonderful open-air sermon. And then thirdly, and this is in no order of importance, make sure that your pastors are on board with you wanting to be a preacher of the gospel, and make sure you have their blessing. Make sure that they can keep you accountable. Make sure that you are striving towards the qualifications of being one of God's pastors and confessing sin and repenting of sin and living a holy life under the local shepherdship of your pastors. And then fourthly, I would say this. Don't pass up opportunities to preach in the pulpit. I think the best open-air preachers are the ones who also love to preach to God's sheep. So if a preacher or pastor gives you an opportunity to preach in the pulpit, take it. Learn to love having people sitting there rooting for you preaching and hungry to hear God's word, because that'll help you preach pastorally in the open air. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. And I'm assuming that you believe this is an exclusively male activity.
Correct. Correct. I believe, and there's dear brothers out there who would disagree with me, but I'm firmly convinced that the open air preaching ministry is an extension of pastoral preaching. It is not only just for males, but God qualified men. So, you know, you can't take, Joseph Smith Jr. That's living today, who just got saved last week, and throw him out into the open air and say, start preaching, boy. That's spiritually abusive to do that to him. Preachers of God's word, I think, not only pastors, should spend time learning theology, reading the good books, knowing church history. But when you do that, you got to trust your pastors, trust your local church. And when it's God's timing, God's put it on your heart, God will put it on your church's heart. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And we have a listener in Gillette, Wyoming. Tyler wants to know, did Charles Spurgeon give recommendations in this book that you have written on where are the ideal places to set up shop, as it were, as an open-air evangelist.
We recommended to his students go wherever there's foot traffic, which for a lot of people in the 19th century would have been like any sort of events and festivals. Like a couple of the sermons that I analyze is actually at the old horse racing shows. Spurgeon got up on a pedestal there at the grandstand, the old 19th century horse riding event in London. And because he was Spurgeon at that time, he could already gather a crowd. So those sermons really seem like they're more congregational. But what's interesting is that when he lectured to his students, he assumed that they would be preaching the passerbys rather than a gathered crowd. So you could think about maybe a difference of a Ray Comfort, who is known for gathering a crowd before he starts preaching, versus like an Andrew Rappaport, who more than not oftentimes just preach to the passerbys. In my experience, if you go where people are, whether it be a park, whether it be a pedestrian field, street, people are always listening, even when they don't seem like they're listening. So that would be my two cents. Just go where the people are. It depends on your context.
All righty. And we'll take one more question before the commercial break. Let's see here. I was just looking at the question. Okay. We have Malverna, who is located in Council Bluffs, Iowa. And Malverna says, one of the things that I think lost people have a right to complain about is when open-air evangelists interrupt or become annoying when they are trying to enjoy an outdoor activity and the loud voice of the preacher is making it difficult to hear what they came to a specific location to hear. It could be a concert, could be a whole host of other things, but they are only finding these men involved in the open air preaching annoying, and therefore it is counterproductive to the gospel. Did Spurgeon have anything to say about this? And do you have anything to say about this?
Yeah. Spurgeon would have the mindset, and this is also mine as well. The gospel is the most important piece of news that anybody could ever hear. And so one of the things that I do every year, and we're about to start it up, Julian's preaching at the Brigham Young University football games. We don't preach in areas where people can't get away. We are not forcing people to sit there and listen to us. We are freely offering the gospel to all who, and hopefully all who will believe. So we're not forcing people before the game to sit there and listen to us. And you would be surprised how many people listen and appreciate, whether they be Christians or just people generally interested in religion. But I would say, as a patriotic American, or at least for what America used to be, it's more important that we exercise our right of free speech while we still have it. And one of the best things an American Christian can do, who is a preacher, is go out into the open air, proclaim the gospel, and you're not forcing anybody to listen against their will. They can go and they can drown you out. People are very good at drowning out. But at the end of the day, and I hope this doesn't sound unnecessarily rude, but you got to know my heart. I don't care whether or not somebody can hear the pick your favorite band concert. We'll go with Nirvana because I grew up in the 90s. If you went to a Nirvana concert, you know, listening to Smells Like Teen Spirit is so much less important than hearing the gospel of Christ. So that's my mindset. I hope it's not overly harsh. At the end of the day, I can't really be concerned. And I think Spurgeon would agree that people are being annoyed. Does that make sense?
Yes, and I guess it would be something that is a debatable issue, because there's an old saying that I agree with: the gospel is an offense to the lost, and we don't need to add our own offense.
Right.
So I can see the side of someone, knowing that a particular individual or group of people, for that matter, paid money even to go see and experience something that we hate ourselves, and even things that we believe God hates primarily. But at the same time, we want to make sure that when we evangelize these people, that we are not angering them unnecessarily. Like, for instance, perhaps handing out tracts to people at that event is different, because you're not necessarily drowning out what they came to hear. Of course, it'd be hard to drown out a heavy metal concert or something like that because it's so loud. But I don't know if I'm making sense to you.
Right. And I'll say this, too, just to be extremely fair. Like, when we go to the BYU football games, we are there before the game starts. By the time the game starts, we're done. So it's not like we're actually interrupting the event itself. We're just there getting the thousands of passers-by a chance to hear the gospel. And, I mean, they're still annoyed by it at some level. But, you know, I don't believe football is sinful. I don't even necessarily believe going to a heavy metal concert in and of itself is sinful. It depends on what the band is and what they're about. But I think you're exactly right. So I think it's useless to try to preach during a concert like that, because you're not going to be able to outperform the band as far as volume, if that makes sense.
Well, we've got to go to our final break. Send in your question immediately if you have one. We're running out of time. ChrisArnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We're going to be right back right after these messages from our sponsors.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. 866-596-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Greetings. This is Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. SecureCom provides the highest level of security systems for residential buildings, municipalities, churches, commercial properties, and much more. We can be reached at securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. But today, I want to introduce you to my senior pastor, Doug McMasters, of New Hyde Park Baptist Church on Long Island.
Doug McMasters here, former director of pastoral correspondence at Grace to You, the radio ministry of John MacArthur. In the film Chariots of Fire, the Olympic gold medalist runner Eric Liddell remarked that he felt God's pleasure when he ran. He knew his efforts sprang from the gifts and calling of God. I sense that same God-given pleasure when ministering the word and helping others gain a deeper knowledge and love for God. That love starts with the wonderful news that the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior who died for sinners, and that God forgives all who come to Him in repentance, trusting solely in Christ to deliver them. I would be delighted to have the honor and privilege of ministering to you if you live in the Long Island area or Queens or Brooklyn or the Bronx in New York City. For details on New Hyde Park Baptist Church, visit nhpbc.com. That's nhpbc.com. You can also call us at 516-352-9672. That's 516-352-9672. That's New Hyde Park Baptist Church, a congregation in love with each other, passionate for Christ, committed to learning and being shaped by God's Word, and delighting in the gospel of God's sovereign grace. God bless you.
Chris Arnzen here. I am forever grateful to Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service for their generous financial support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. But that's not the only reason I love them. CVBBS.com carries the finest in theologically reformed literature from 16th century classics like Calvin's Institutes, 17th and 18th century Puritan treasures like the works of Jonathan Edwards, 19th century volumes by the Prince of Preachers Charles Spurgeon, all the way up to the 21st century with the best of R.C. Sproul, Steve Lawson, Vody Balcom, and more. On top of their stellar book selection, CVBBS.com offers up to 50% off retail prices with an added 5% off for orders of $50 or more when using the promo code IRON. Visit CVBBS.com today and use promo code IRON. That's CVBBS.com. Enriching minds and maintaining the theologically reformed influence of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio through their financial support. Now shipping worldwide.
And folks, please never forget that this program is paid for in part by the law firm of Buttafuoco and Associates, where my dear friend, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, is the founder. And if you are the victim of a very serious personal injury or medical malpractice anywhere in the United States, please call Dan Buttafuoco at 1-800-NOW-HURT, 1-800-NOW-HURT, or visit his website, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com. Please make sure you remember to mention to Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, that you heard about his law firm, Buttafuoco & Associates, from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And we are now back, and we have enough time for probably one more question for Ed Romine. And that would be from Tilton in Friendship Heights Village, Maryland. And Tilton wants to know, should you ever engage other open-air preachers who you believe are preaching heresy by calling out to them that they are indeed false teachers, etc., or should you wait to do that and conduct yourself privately with that person?
I've done both. I've been to the Super Bowl outreaches where the sadly late Reuben Israel, if your audience may know who that is, was open air preaching. And I didn't call him out specifically. I just said, folks, I want you to know that you might think we're on the same team, but we're not. He's preaching hate. He's preaching condemnation. He's mocking you. We want to give you Jesus. We want you to see the glories of Jesus. We want you to love him and worship him. But you've got to see yourself as a sinner first. You've got to see yourself as condemned under the wrath of Almighty God. You've got to see yourself as covenant breaker. But then I want you to see Jesus as sweet. See him as the balm for your soul, as the one who will forgive you of all your sin if you'll but place all your trust alone, your hope alone, your faith alone in this life, death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. And if you do that, and the Holy Spirit comes to reside in you, you get all of Jesus' perfect, beautiful righteousness given to you as a free gift. So I would say something to that effect.
Now, are you aware?
I
was just going to say, are you aware of an encounter like that ever having happened in the outdoor preaching of Spurgeon?
No, I'm not. That would be a fascinating thing if we ever did find one. So,
well, I want you to conclude with about 2 minutes of commentary that summarizes what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners.
I want you to love the Lord Jesus Christ more. This book is for all people. It's primarily aimed at pastors. I want to see pastors get brave and get out in the open air if you're in a place with enough foot traffic. But I want all of God's church to love the Lord Jesus Christ more, to be thankful for his glorious gospel.
Amen. Well, I want to remind our listeners that the website of the church where my guest Ed Romine serves on the pastoral staff, that's First Baptist Church of Provo, Utah, fbcprovo.org, FBC for First Baptist Church, provo.org. And is there a favorite website of yours where listeners can get a hold of your book?
Yes, you can get a hold of it through Amazon.com.
Okay, and make sure you enter the title, The Booming Baritone Bell of England, The Pedagogy and Practice of Charles Haddon Spurgeon's Open Air Preaching. And you can actually just also type in E.G. Romine, that's Ed's initials, E.G. Romine, R-O-M-I-N-E, or also Ed Romine, try that, when you are typing in the name in the search engine at Amazon. Well, I want to thank you for being such a superb guest today, Ed. I look forward to you returning to the show. You have an open door in my studio to bring up any topic.
Thank you, dear brother.
And folks, let me just give you one more reminder of the urgent need that we have here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you really love the show, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card, or you can mail in checks the old-fashioned way to the address that appears on your screen as well when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com. Please keep praying for my very dear friend Gary Wolf, who recently had the diagnosis of stomach cancer, and perhaps I will have more updates tomorrow or the day after. He has another medical appointment tomorrow. And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.
Amen.